Auburn Studios. It's Ray Richardson on WLOB.
You're listening to 100.5 FM. As usual, I'm making friends everywhere. Before we get to our guests, I'm going to read you this. She says her name is Marcy. I have no idea. Ray Richardson, I will never listen to your show again. I cannot believe you speak about women in the manner in which you did. These women have every right to be progressives. And that was the end of it. You're right, they do. It's a choice. You know, it's not an immutable characteristic to be a progressive. You know, you can change it. They made the choices to be like they are, which is why they're unattractive, because their hearts are dark, and you see it in the role of the United States senators. So they did this. I'm just talking about it, but you don't care. Elizabeth Warren takes $5.2 million in big farmer contributions for her campaign, and you're not upset about that, Marcy. You're upset that I said she was a shrew, which by definition means an ill-tempered woman. If it was good enough for Shakespeare, by God, it's good enough for me. Brett Dyer, Dee Dee Richardson in the house. Good morning.
Good morning. Ray, I'm going to say something that's going to make people angry.
Okay.
I always thought Hillary Clinton was pretty attractive until I realized what she was. And so I think that's what we're talking about. Slow down, white man.
You thought Hillary Clinton was pretty attractive?
I mean, when she was younger, yes.
Were you doing drugs or something?
Ray, I've never done drugs ever.
Have you been drunk?
Nope, never.
Never been drunk. So you're like me.
Yeah, I've never done
that. So you were totally sober.
I smoked a couple of cigarettes when I was 12, but that's about as bad as it gets.
I never smoked a cigarette. I don't like them. Yeah. So you were totally sober when you made that observation?
Totally sober. And I didn't admit it for a long time. I'd see her and I'd be like, wow, she's really not that bad. But then I realized just like, she's so damn ugly on the inside and crooked. It wouldn't be worth it. Would it?
No, it just wouldn't be worth it. And I think, you know, and I know every time I say it, but when the 2016 election happened, all I did was ask America to do what her husband had always done, choose someone else.
Ignore her. Exactly right.
708, I'm about to get yelled at, but I love being yelled at by this woman. I do, because she's just amazing. Her name is Attorney. I have no idea why her mom named her Attorney. Her mom is one of the most incredible people you've ever met. Attorney Sarah Parshall Perry from the Heritage Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning. It is so good to be with all of you. And I got to tell you, I'm a little shocked that anyone would find Hillary Clinton attractive, because regardless of her visage, okay, which is another term that Shakespeare used in his plays, however she appears on the outside, boy, that spirit of hers, that mean-natured spirit, shrew is the perfect descriptor. Yeah, I think that paints the whole picture.
I'm a fair dealer, though. I can look and go, yeah, well, you look good. It's kind of like, you know, going to a restaurant. Everybody says you're great, and you get there, and you realize just how bad it really is. No, I can't deny it.
I don't know. Did you watch any of the hearing yesterday, Sarah?
Yeah, I did. I actually watched a good portion of it, and I thought he did a masterful job.
He did.
And I'm going to tell you what I thought the sort of untold narrative was of this entire day was how much audience support this man has.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, listen, I have sat in on a lot of Senate hearings. I have watched a lot of them on television. I have never seen anything like I saw yesterday, with the crowd breaking into applause multiple times. I've never heard applause in a Senate hearing room before.
Broad support.
I mean, he suffered the slings and arrows of outrageous commentary, another vaguely Shakespearean reference for you, over and over and over again, and he didn't lose his cool, and he remained even keeled. And I have got to tell you, some of the questions posed to him were downright preposterous. I cannot get over Bernie Sanders. Do you support these onesies?
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. I want to go back to Elizabeth Warren, who's been a good deal of my commentary this morning. So here she is, the United States Senator, and as you know, Sarah, because I know you know history, the founders of the country set up the Senate to be a very deliberative, august body, full of statesmen. that were the cooling off chamber to the passions of the House, which was closest to the people. Their anticipation was the Senate would be full of statesmen, people who were informed, people who had decorum, and people who would behave themselves so that people could look up to them. And back in the day, they actually did. Yesterday, she was angry. She contorted her face in ways in which it's hard for me to understand. Why was she angry at Bobby Kennedy? Why was Jean Shaheen angry at Bobby Kennedy? And, of course, the dumbest person that's ever served in the U.S. Senate. You know who that is, right? Before I tell you, you know who that is, right?
Oh, that's hard to pick. I mean, I'm gonna go with Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mazie Hirono. So
no, Bernie's pretty dumb.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah,
that
I mean, I've never seen anybody ask in questions that are less relevant than her questions. But they're all angry. Why are they angry? These are all very mediocre people who have achieved great heights. You would think they would be grateful to God Almighty that they fooled everybody. But, I mean, Warren, she was pounding her fist, and she had that ugly face she has just screeching at him. And Jean Shaheen was no better out of New Hampshire.
He's a sellout.
Why are they so angry?
You know, part of me wonders if there is a sensitivity, because a lot of these people are guilty of the same things to which they were targeting RFK Jr. in the first place, namely being on the take from Big Pharma. And when he responded with, "Senator, I don't think they want to give me any money," considering he was suing manufacturers and he was suing environmental polluters into oblivion, that his entire practice as an attorney when he was beginning was FOIA practice, going after transparency. These are corporations who have fought against him because he wants the science to be unassailable. And here's the problem. He pointed this out directly. He said, it is not that any of us don't want vaccines. It's that now we don't trust HHS. We don't trust the vaccine manufacturers, because for 4 years it was shoved down our throats because no one could report adverse events on COVID. Every bit of the science was being obfuscated, throttled information on social media. We don't trust you. That is all he did in his practice, was go after transparency, go after environmental polluters, go after consumer safety. I don't think Big Pharma wants anything to do with him. And yet you had people on that panel yesterday who were on the take from Big Pharma.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. You know, the circumstance is just, it's really beyond the pale of reason. She was Warren. Warren was the most offensive one this time. They take turns being the most offensive. And I know people get mad at me because I call it out. But, you know, being a progressive woman or being a bitter shrew, I mean, those are choices people make. They, you know, it's not like they're born that way. They decide to be this way. But the stuff that was going on yesterday was beyond the pale of reason. And I said yesterday on social media, if Robert Kennedy wasn't there, but it was a man with a beard and a dress, would she have treated him as terribly as she treated Robert Kennedy? Who, no matter whether you agree with him or not, what you have to acknowledge is he spent his career fighting for the environment and fighting against the big pharma. You know, it's really preposterous is what's happened to the United States Senate breaks my heart. I've told you this before off air. I wanted to be a senator. I revered that body so much. I changed my mind when I was 21, but I always, you know, Kennedy wrote Profiles in Courage, I think, in 57. And if you've ever read that book, it's one of my favorites. I read it all the time. You have people that stood up for things at great cost to themselves. Susan Collins, you talked about the CDC. I'm a flamethrower. That's what I am. I always have been. I will say whatever I think, and I accept the chips where they fall. Susan Collins is not. She sat in the United States Senate committee hearing and looked at Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC, and said to you, it pains me, but you used to be the gold standard, and now we don't trust you. So how could anybody be shilling for all of these people in a Senate hearing?
Well, that's because, as I've told you before, the Democratic Party is the party of cognitive dissonance. You cannot hold two opposing viewpoints in your head at the same time. And so what we hear coming out of their mouths is a lot of two opposing viewpoints, because they will act one way and they will say something completely different. That, to my mind, as somebody who aspires to be of great character, of great worth and great value and great integrity. You act one way, you say another. And I've got to tell you, I think that the American people, this is why we have Democrats at historically low approval ratings. Pew Research is just out. 31% approval rating for Democrats.
Wow.
A historic low. 48% approval rating for Republicans. That's a historic high. Is it any wonder the entire country went red?
Yep.
Not just the White House, not just Capitol Hill and Congress, but the state houses and the governor's mansions as well. This was a referenda, and it's almost as if who we see in that Senate hearing yesterday, and it, trust me, if you thought RFK was bad yesterday, wait for Kash Patel today.
Oh, yeah.
It's
oh,
going to be
yeah.
fireworks, guaranteed. This is why these individuals in their vaunted ivory towers and their marble-ensconced offices with their big campaign donations do not fully resonate with the American people. Even people who may have been middle of the road or slightly liberal with a more moderate bent, they were fed up. It's because of activity like we saw yesterday.
We're talking with attorney Sarah Parshall Perry of the Heritage Foundation. So, you know, as I told you before, when we met each other, I just immediately thought you were cool, you were smart, you were really articulate, and then I found out what a badass you actually are, not only in this country, but around the world. So I want you to use your badass nature to do me a favor, and it would do the rest of the country a favor as well. I want you to get Heritage to find somebody to sponsor an amendment where all of these senators have to be like NASCAR drivers and wear the patches of their sponsors on their outfits.
I absolutely love that idea. And I don't know if you guys have seen Talladega Nights, okay? I'm a big Will Ferrell fan. Remember, I have teenagers, so
I watch
a lot of stupid comedy. And there is a scene where he is driving down the racetrack, and there is a giant Fig Newton sign in the front of his car. And he said, boy, this is dangerous, but I do love Fig Newton.
Exactly. So why can't they just disclose it instead of hiding it? Warren took $5.2 million in campaign contributions in her time running for the Senate. And then there she is shilling for Big Pharma as though she was doing it based on principle and integrity. She was not.
Yeah.
She's scared to death that Bobby Kennedy becomes the Secretary of HHS, that he's going to hold them to account. And,
absolutely. Absolutely. And he's not going to allow HHS, led by a man in a dress, to push through another junk science theory. You got to realize they didn't just give us the COVID pandemic and the purported solution to the COVID pandemic. And by the way, Fauci, we know, had a vested financial interest in the development of these vaccines.
Sure did.
So if anybody thinks that he is, sure, and by the way, nothing says trust the science like a presidential pardon, right?
Right.
So now we look back over 4 years and we think, wow, maybe there really was something going on there. And sure enough, little by little, now the CDC is saying, yes, it was a lab leak. Yes, there was gain-of-function research. You mean everything we've been talking about for the past 4 years, the American public was right to be skeptical of this the entire time? Part of the reason I think we need patches on shoulders or we need identifying flags of different vested corporate interests is because the American government system is so bureaucratic and it is so complex in a frustrating manner. It is not designed for the average person to access. This is one of the things that has always frustrated me about Washington, because I'm a very ordinary person living in a very extraordinary capital, and I see exactly how much information there is out there to which Americans have to be privy. But the problem is, your average American is not going to get online and pull FEC campaign contribution lists and compare year over year and identify corporate funders, because we simply don't have time for that. We're
right.
too busy going out, trying to make a living, trying to raise a family, trying to live good lives. We don't want to have to do the research behind the corrupt interests in our politicians. We want them to be honest about who they're taking money from. And the fact that Elizabeth Warren could get up there and shriek yesterday about, will you promise not to take a job with Big Pharma, promise not to sue Big Pharma, is laughable, because she's on the take from Big Pharma. This is a guy who laughingly says, and again, brilliant line, I don't think they want to give me money anyway. And he's 100% right.
Yeah, he is 100% right. There's no doubt about it. I remind everyone in the audience, if you want to look up this stuff, it is relatively easy. Go to opensecrets.org, opensecrets.org. And everything you can, that we've been telling you here, you can look and find out for yourself. Some of you have texted me and said, how do you gain this information? Well, I do what I always do. I research stuff that I'm curious about. And opensecrets.org is a wonderful resource to go and find who's contributing to who. It's just so crazy. And I don't remember who the senator was yesterday, but they asked Kennedy about, you know, the funding freeze and that kind of stuff. And Kennedy referred to another senator whose name I don't recall. It doesn't matter. And said, as he rightfully pointed out, the Medicaid portal shutting down had nothing to do with the funding freeze. It simply crashed. And the person went on like, well, we don't want to hear about that, you know, because they want this narrative out there that Trump was shutting down Medicaid.
Right.
They just, you know, they are truly collectively the most despicable group of 100 people I can ever imagine.
You know, it's interesting because I was actually in another Senate hearing yesterday in a sort of smaller, lesser known, you know, less sort of firework oriented committee. And that was a committee on aging in the Senate. And that's led by co-chair Rick Scott, who is the majority chairman, and then Kristen Gillibrand, who is the minority leader. And it's interesting because she targeted one of the witnesses. Of course, this temporary funding freeze has been the source of sort of, you know, all of these political commentaries and dialogues and discourses. And, of course, it's made the left head explode. And here's why. Because they don't like the prospect of a sudden funding freeze on PET programs affiliated with progressive causes. We were sending $156,000 to LGBTQIA equity training in Hawaii. We were sending $50 million for condoms in Gaza.
So stop right there. Stop right there. Caroline said that the other day in the press briefing. I mean, if that doesn't make every working class American, regardless of your political stripes, head explode, knowing that you're struggling under Joe Biden's inflation, 24.1% inflation, that didn't include food or fuel. You're struggling. Yeah. I hear it every day. And we're giving $50 million to the Gaza Strip for condoms. Are you kidding me?
How is that
a compelling interest to the United States government?
There's more than that. I'm in the Medicare business, and I, at the end of last year, it came down that we had to start asking Medicare Advantage and Part D enrollees what their sexual preference was and what their gender was.
You have to ask them that?
Oh, they wanted us to, and I'm the only guy who called the first carrier, I won't name him, but to ask us to do it, and I refused, and I said, we'll shut our business down. We actually found a way around it, but yes, we were being required in the application process, irrelevant to whether they were eligible for the Medicare Advantage or Part D plan, to ask those questions. And I can tell you, you want to insult somebody, especially a senior, fast enough, start asking those questions. And it was all towards health equity.
Can you imagine? I want to set the stage for everybody here. So, Mrs. Smith, a very proper lady, walks in, and she's 67. And she's had some difficulty with Medicare, and so she sits down with Brad Dyer. By the way, Brad Dyer, 6'7". He's a big man. And she sits down with Brad Dyer, and Brad says, well, before we start, I have to ask you, are you a lesbian? Can you imagine asking that question of that woman?
Do you know how it actually goes? Quite often, because there's a spouse involved with gay couples, and they start whispering to us, you know, don't you know that I, you know, I'm this way? And we're just like, you know, whatever. We don't really care.
You don't care?
No, we don't care.
And what has it got to do with Medicare anyhow?
This was all done by the administration towards health equity. If you look in the language, and I'll tell you, CMS is one of the biggest, most corrupt things I've seen in my life. I've never seen anything as crazy as this. This whole push for health equity, it's a bunch of crap, and lots of money are being spent, and the health plans are spending a lot of money to try to deal with this health equity stuff. This is all part of it, and it is massive money going to it. And I can't wait for it to be exposed, because there's nothing like sitting across from an adult and being told you have to ask what their sexual preference is, because you want to insult somebody quickly.
It's just crazy. And Sarah, you said about a month and a half ago you really liked me because I'm still a 16-year-old boy, so I'm going to say what a 16-year-old boy would say. Sarah Parshall Perry is all woman. Can you imagine asking her that question? I think you might not get up.
I tell you what, listen, you know, this all goes back really at bottom to how Americans view their elected leaders and how they view their government. And you were talking rightly, Ray, about the fact that the Senate was supposed to be sort of this august chamber of statesmen as opposed to politicians. We are long gone out of the era of statesmen. I have to tell you, I think the last true statesman we truly had was in President Reagan, but I'm seeing hints of this right now with President Trump. Every so often, he has a bit of a Reagan-esque moment.
Right.
I don't know if it's a brush with death. I don't know if it's sort of age. The office itself has tempered him. He's sort of understood as he's gotten older that, you know, he has to lead in a certain way. But I've seen better things from him. What we did not see yesterday were any statesmen in the Senate. But we did see allegations of being on the take to different organizations corporately. And here we are in this tiny, and here I am on the other side of the Senate in another hearing, the Committee on Aging, making sure that seniors as they age can have their financial investments protected, making sure that they are financially stable going into retirement. And we're hearing Kirsten Gillibrand target these particular majority witnesses, three Republican witnesses, telling them, well, why are you going to cut SNAP benefits? Why are you going to cut Social Security? Why are you going to cut Medicaid? Every one of the witnesses said, that's not something we're proposing at all. Well, where are you going to get the $500 billion from? Well, I'll tell you what, some of the things that I just mentioned to you, $37 million to WHO, $15 million for condoms in Gaza, $856 million for equity training, I've gotten you close to a $500 billion right there. There's your bucket of money. But we're too busy backing progressive interests, these hard left progressive, non-mainstream American special interests, utter pork interests, that we literally don't know how to balance our own budget. We are too busy hemorrhaging for special interest causes. That has got to come to an end.
Well, it's happening all over the country. You look at every major city, they're run by progressives, and every major city in the country is crumbling. Their infrastructure is crumbling. Their neighborhoods are crap. People are afraid to go out. Here in Maine, our big city is 70,000 people. It's Portland. And unfortunately, the Democratic Socialist of America, they're very proud of that, by the way, found a way to win elections, and they control the city council. The infrastructure of Portland, Maine, a beautiful city sitting next to the Atlantic Ocean, not far from the Portland headlight that George Washington commissioned. Beautiful, beautiful scenic beauty. They are doing everything they can to destroy this city. The infrastructure in the city is falling apart. There are needles from their needle exchange programs laying around everywhere. They're blaming homeowners who don't want to go out on the sidewalk and clean up the needles from the needle exchange program for the drug addicts walking around that city has given out. We're in a bizarre moment here, and this is what I would say, and I mean this with every ounce of my body. Progressive ideology is the most destructive force on this earth, and I believe it is driven by Satan himself.
It's evil.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with you, because really at bottom, it goes about the nature of who we are as human beings. This isn't a political ideology. It is a philosophical ideology. It's been around for close to 200 years, really, because obviously the precursor to Marx was Gramsci himself. And this is part of
right.
What you and I talked about, Ray. This is just the long march through the institutions, right? You take the schools, you take the government, you take the arts, you take the family, and now what we've got all the way down at bottom, and boy, we didn't see this with any other administration like we did with this past one, LGBTQIA reality, sort of the self-affirmation of I am whoever I want to be, and even though I'm born one sex, I will identify as another, and I'm going to demand that you identify me as that sex. Now, see, listen, I don't care how you live. Live however you want. But now when it affects my bottom dollar, my taxes, my kids, well, now that's a step too far. And
right.
What we need to do, first of all, is cut off the federal tap. And the first way to do that is with something like we just saw, which is the federal funding freeze. Now, remember, the OMB guidance has been rescinded. They needed to clarify because there were some questions. But the executive order still remains.
Right.
And this is simply so that the government can go through and literally, with a blowtorch, burn off all of the dead wood in critical race theory, critical gender theory, sending money overseas for abortion, sending money overseas for free, safe, cheap, easy sex, and make sure what we're doing is we're funding a strong American nation, a strong military defense, strong families, strong infrastructures. And then if we want to go back to pet projects, we can do that later. But Donald Trump, he won on two issues predominantly, illegal immigration and the economy. And boy, I tell you what, he has made quick work of both of those. This man is here. He does not want to mess around.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. You're absolutely right about this. And you know, doesn't it, I mean, when you go into a country and the first thing you do is bring them dollars so their women can abort their children, isn't that a great way to build a relationship with another nation?
It's crazy.
I mean, it's just a crazy, what are we doing here? This is so bizarre on so many levels. And, you know, we're sick of it. You brought up the LGBTQIA, RSTVROXYZ. You know, look, I believe in freedom. I've said this forever. I've said it for as long as I've been an adult. And when you're an adult, you do what you want as long as you're not hurting somebody else. But you do not get to force me to acknowledge and accept your insanity. If you want to be a guy who wears a dress and a beard and prance around, and that's fine, you know, you do what you do. Go do yourself. But you don't get to tell me that I have to acknowledge you as a woman, because I will not do it.
That's it. And I was tired. Boy, I can't tell you how tired I was of the government pushing this narrative. Boy, I don't want Big Brother telling me what to do. I want Big Brother out of my life. So when he appointed a man in a dress to formally lead the HHS, I cannot tell you what a total leveling up of the game for American healthcare it is to have the concept of RFK Jr. leading the HHS, particularly somebody who's been in this space for so long.
It's so crazy. It is so absolutely unbelievably crazy what we have gone through here. And you know, I've been doing a lot of social media lately, most of it just observing, because I just want to see just how insane people have become. And last night, a drag queen was losing their mind because the federal government changed the gender on their passport. The person was born male, and so the passport now says an M, male. There are two genders, male and female. And what I'm really tired of is this evil progressive element trying to tell us they know more than God. God created male and female. Mankind has tried to tell God he's wrong. And look how that's worked out
they
for us.
Sarah,
unfortunately, we have to run. I hate that, because we just love having you on so much. But by the way, thank you so much for your kindness in D.C. The people that came over to the Heritage Foundation said it was the highlight of their trip.
Oh, I'm so glad. I tell you what, I think for everybody it was a weekend to remember, so I'm so glad it worked out.
No doubt. Sarah Parshall Perry, the lead, what is it? Are you like lead single senior counsel? What is the actual title?
Senior legal fellow, which means, you know, you've just been around the block.
It means you're really, really smart. You're really, really smart and really, really admired. That's what it means. Sarah, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Bye, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we have got to run.
More painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This Channel 8 newscast is brought to you by Dirigo Public Affairs. They take pride in making sure that